Live from Seattle continues on 820 AM KGNW.
Well, we are enjoying the realities of live radio here as we have a lineup of all kinds of different people stopping by, and it's fun chaos here. We're at the Church Awakenings Conference at Overlake, and you can go to churchawakening.com to find more information. And we're talking with some of the sponsors, and this is a really interesting, a neat ministry, Missions Aviation Training Academy, and we've got Gary Elliott with us. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, good to be here. Thanks.
And then Gordon, I didn't get you. Oh, Gordon
Bakke
is here as well. First, just tell me a little bit about what the program is about.
Well, this is a ministry that was started by Pastor Mike Kroll as a part of his doctoral thesis down at a seminary there, Lutheran Seminary in Tacoma. And the Holy Spirit said to him, look at Mike, don't just write about it, do something. Mm. So he began this ministry in October of 1998, officially began, and it's carried on since then.
So this is the idea of training pilots who are going to be missionaries, are going to be working with missionaries in missionary areas. Is that what
that's what it is.
Yeah, and so, one, what is the uniqueness? Why is that needed versus just someone getting a pilot license?
Well, both Gary and I flew on the mission field. Gary flew in the Philippines. I flew in Zambia, Africa. And, yeah, you go down to Payne Field, Boeing Field, get your pilot's license, but yeah, legally you're a pilot.
Yeah.
But you're not prepared to go on the push strips.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So they're operating off strips or paved runways that are 9,000 feet long or more at those airports, training pilots for corporate or jets or airline pilots. So we're training guys to work off of really short, narrow, rugged strips.
Well, that seems like that'd be kind of scary to train people to do that, because I can see a flight school where you just do the very, the most safe, secure kind of, pain field versus this idea. How do you bring someone through that process? Do you start them kind of, is the first stage is general flight, then you start showing them the more difficult issues?
Well, guys come to us with all levels. Some have never flown at all, and others come with maybe they already have their private pilot's license or their instrument rating or maybe even their commercial license. So working with guys, we've even had missionaries come home off the field that we've had guys coming out of airlines, trying to get in back into light airplanes. So at whatever level they are, we're just trying to get them the skills they need to qualify to go with some of these sending organizations.
Does it also have to do that the planes, too, as well? They might fly something here, but they know they're going to a specific region, flying a certain kind of plane, and then you do training based on where they're going, what the needs are?
So in examples, we just had a guy retired from the Navy. He's been flying DC-9s down at Navy Dallas and came to us. He's going to be going to he's going to Nairobi, Kenya with Africa Inland Mission. Well, so he had to get back into light airplanes after flying, basically airline like a DC-9.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that didn't go real easy either. I mean, for one thing, you're sitting quite a few feet above the runway on a DC-9. You have a much heavier airplane, much faster, and the brakes, you have to put a lot more pressure on the brakes, and, you can...
They have anti-skid braking, which you could just clamp down and wait. That didn't work out well on our airplane.
Wow. Well, I can see where this has so much to do with connecting with people who have that experience, because there's just no way around the fact that you need someone to have experience who can tell you about those issues. Mm-hmm. Hey, in your own experiences, what were some of the crazy experiences you found yourself in when you were flying into an area?
Gary, you go ahead.
We had a call one Saturday morning from a mission station about an hour's flight to the north of us there on Luzon, and they said they had a couple of gunshot wounds, which kind of aroused my attention, because there's communist guerrillas active up in those mountains. And so he called for a flight to come in and get these guys, and I was kind of like, I talked to one of our senior guys there at the flight base and saying, is this safe to go? Am I supposed to go? And so we talked about the signals. There's some signals, and it didn't sound, he didn't put any of the coded signals in there saying it was a problem. Okay. So he says, hey, it's okay. I'll talk to you when you get here. So we get up there. And these guys have been ambushed on the trail by some bad guys that, I don't know if they had gambling debts down in the province, provincial capital downriver or something. For some reason, they had a contract put on them. So these couple guys have been shot pretty badly.
And
so I evacuated them out to a town, actually a government airport with a regular runway, and they had a hospital there. And so We got the guys into medical care. And, I said, why didn't you call me Friday night and give me a heads up what's going on? They said, we didn't think they're going to live through the night. So,
Wow. Well, I also think in some regions, what's normal to that region might be normal for them, but not normal for the person coming in, like normal flying conditions, normal runway conditions.
That particular airstrip was our longest tribal strip on Luzon. It was 940 feet long, and that was our longest. It had about 12% slope at touchdown and kind of roller coaster up and down.
Gordon, for you, anything comes to mind, or just some of the people you've worked with and some of the places you've seen?
One of the things I did a lot of was these people that would come representing different mission organizations like Leprosy Mission. They're based out of London. I used to fly into Lusaka, Zambia, pick up the director, the head guy for the Leprosy Mission worldwide, and fly him around a good part of Zambia for about a week. I'd stay with him. And then bring him back to the capital. Another time I had Franklin Graham and a team came out and flew them around for about a week. That was interesting, too.
I got to think how rewarding this is, because that is an area where people have a vision or a mission, but they are entrusting a key aspect of what they're doing. It doesn't work without the transportation. And, and can you, for people who are interested in this, is this open for beginning flyers, or what is the program open for basically any group?
Everybody's got to start someplace.
Right.
So you start at the beginning, but what we do is we, in the training course, we bring in about this mission flying, and we get people from the missionaries who on furlough or mission reps come to our hangar and talk to our students. And then when we have an opportunity, because I've been working with a Bible camp, Gary's been up there too now, up in western Alaska, there are no roads, and we take, that's our grad course. Once you get your commercial license, we'll get you up there, we'll check you out on some of these village strips, and it's tough because you're dealing in an area that's got a lot of water. The muskeg and all that of the Yukon Kuskokwim River Delta is a lot of water in the summertime. It's all frozen in the winter. And if we go up to villages along the Bering Sea, and that salt water, and some of the places when we go in on the along Norton Sound in May and June, it's still frozen.
Yeah. I went to Savunga, Alaska, and with the Yupik tribes, and one of the most interesting flights I was ever on, I don't know what the name of the plane was, but I remember we were a little plane, and I was like, we're going to land there. It looked to me like we were landing on an ice field or something, but it seems like those conditions are not just about one-time conditions, but it depends on the time of year, what's going on, all those variables are
so important. So the mission there in the summer is bringing kids to Bible camp. So there's a Bible camp out there, and all these Eskimo villages along the river or along the Bering Sea, there's no way for them to travel and, you know, unless they've got a boat to go up river. And so we fly kids and families to this Bible camp.
So that's kind of like the graduation thing here. They get to go out and then fly the kids to the Bible camp.
So they're doing a real ministry, and they're also, it's kind of training, but it's beyond your normal training. It's really field operating in field conditions.
Well, that stuff's really awesome. I want people who are interested in this, you can find a lot more information at the website. You can go to, and I'm going to spell this out. It's mata-usa.org, mata-usa.org. To find out more information. Is that the best route if they're interested in pursuing this? Just kind of email and check out what's going on?
Well, if they don't have an email, they can phone us too.
Okay.
So 425-231-5855. 425-231-5855.
And because you've flown in places I would never fly, I want you to say that again. I'll let you say it three times. What's the number again for people writing it down?
425-231-5855. 5855.
You know what I love about this, of having you guys on, is it also shows that sometimes people get caught at what mission is or ministry is, and they get very narrow. Like, I'm a pastor, and sometimes people have the assumption you're either a pastor or you're not a pastor. But there are so many areas where our life vocation is our calling, and where you can take things that you're passionate about, gifted in, and then you can transition them into helping the harvest, helping with mission. And this seems like a perfect example.
Here's a little takeaway. There's a billion roadless people in the world. So a sixth of the world's population, they don't even have a road to get on to walk the road into town. So they're just in really, really isolated, remote areas. So the pastors trying to minister in those regions, you know, they need air support to get to get to get around.
So, yeah.
The medical teams, you know, Doctors Without Borders and their nurses, you know, those people need airplanes to get in and out of these areas.
Well, it's the strength, too, in our culture. It seems like there's a lot more mobility, a lot more issues of short-term, long-term, mid-term, and so this is a need that's only going to increase, the need for pilots who can give it, whether it's a season of their life to this. I can see that the need is only going to increase as we reach the far reaches of the world.
Well, another thing you can do, too, you don't have to just fly. You can do other ministries. I've preached, I've taught, I've spoken in village groups for 1,000-2,000 people, and had Bible classes, and I ran a big ministry at a big mission station out in the bush. You know, so
all sorts of skills are needed.
Yeah, I just don't think you want me screaming like a little girl when we hit turbulence. I might not be the right guy for that.
Okay. Anyhow, you can come fly with us, though.
That
welcome.
Would be awesome.
We're at Arlington Airport.
When I heard about this ministry, I thought, this is awesome. Because it really is one of those where also it's from a vision. God tells someone, hey, you know, you can go out and do this. There's a need, and this one need, if this is an area you're interested in, also reminds any of you out there, if there's a specific area of vocation or talent or gifting or calling, always look at how God can use it for the kingdom, because basically there's a need in every area when it comes to advancing the kingdom. Here's the website to go to, mata-usa.org. That's mata-usa.org. Gary and Gordon, I appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Okay, hey, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. We got a lot more to talk about here. So much going on here. Lots of sponsors stopping by. We'll look at the director of mission for Corbin School of Ministry, Bible School we'll look at, how to build a church. A contractor will stop by. A lot happening when we return with Live from Seattle.
Don't go anywhere. Much more Live from Seattle with Doug Bursch coming up on 820 AM KGNW.